Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of Nowhere to Run. This is going to be an interview with Andrew John Hoffman. Andrew wrote the book The New World Order and the Eugenics Wars, A Christian Perspective, and he is a really great guy who wrote this book to basically wake up Christians to the New World Order. It's a short book, it's about 150 pages, but it really hits all the major points and explains all the major things about waking somebody up to the New World Order from a very Christ-centered perspective. And he's a really great guy. So, one preface before we get into the interview, there was a lot of technical difficulties because of the software that I was using to record the program sort of overlapped the tracks. My voice and his voice were overlapped in some cases about 15, 20 seconds. So there was a lot of times I had to cut off the last few things that he said in a sentence and then re-record what I said. So it kind of makes for some interesting listening. But just bear with it. All the great information is there. And you might hear a random laugh here that is not quite placed very well. And that's why. So just stay with it. You're really going to enjoy this guy. His name's Andrew John Hoffman. Here he is.
Okay, thanks for having me on the show, Chris. I was actually over in Korea and had just, I was teaching English over there and had just woken up to the New World Order stuff and was kind of confused with where Christianity fits in with that because I'd always grown up, kind of a Bible-believing Christian, but, once you go down the rabbit hole for 9/11, it gets confusing, and that's how I found your work, your podcasts and videos on YouTube, and I really appreciated those, and it helped me kind of see things from a Christian perspective. And the book came from me suggesting that maybe a project you could do was write a book, and I offered to help because of my background as an English major and English teacher and things like that. And you were nice enough to encourage me that I knew enough stuff about this already and should just write it. So that's how it got started. And it was actually a really enjoyable process. It helped me research things and put it down in a way that made sense to me.
Yeah, the book is really well cited. You did some really great research, and I know what it's like to go out there and do all the research and prove for yourself that this is really true, find the sources and things like that. But yeah, you did a really great job and all that.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Chris. And yeah, it was a fun experience, and it's certainly interesting material. And I hope if people check it out, I think they'll enjoy the book, but they'll also enjoy the different sources that I cite in there as opportunities to go and either read something else or watch a documentary or something like that. And one thing that worked out because I was over in Korea, so I didn't have good library access or anything, is I tried to make most of the sources things that people could get for free on the internet. So
The book seems to be, I mean, it says it's from a Christian perspective. The name of the book is The New World Order and the Eugenics Wars, A Christian Perspective. And so it's written for Christians. And I think I'm going to read real quickly the sort of introduction. And I think it gives a pretty good angle of who this is intended to help. It says, God exists, Satan exists, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Jesus Christ left his place in heaven at the right hand of God to come to earth. He then lived, taught, suffered, died, and bore the full brunt of the wrath of God for my sake and for yours. Our only reason for hope is that Jesus Christ not only conquered death, but that through him alone we are offered reconciliation with God. If your faith is placed somewhere else, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then I cannot recommend that you read this book. The information that I have discovered that I will share in this book will take your sense of reality and can lead to some very dangerous places if you're not grounded in faith and trust in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, who were you burdened for in writing this book?
Yeah, I think it was kind of for people like me who were Christians and who were also looking into the kind of the alternative or the conspiracy world. But we want the truth, not the kind of new age counterfeit version of the truth. And you've done a lot of great work kind of exposing that and exposing the zeitgeist elements, and it's amazing. And I think it has to be a spiritual thing where, as soon as people figure out, hey, 9/11 might be an inside job, or 9/11's an inside job, and then the next thing is, oh, and Jesus was a myth. And so a Christian perspective, I wanted, kind of has a couple meanings. It meant that I wanted it clear that, hey, I'm going to assume some things. I'm not going to try to prove the existence of God or prove different things about Christianity. I'm going to look at the world through that lens. That's how I was looking at things. So I wanted to be upfront about that. And at the same time, I also wanted to make sure, it's a Christian perspective, not the Christian perspective. I think there's, I certainly don't have everything figured out. But that first paragraph also, just kind of organically through the research, the New World Order and the eugenics wars and everything is all kind of secondary. The whole universe, in my opinion, comes down to you're either going to put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or you're not. And those are really the only two sides that matter.
Had some technical difficulty here, but basically what I said was that he did a really good job explaining this aspect in the book, and I'm about to quote from a chapter where he says the following. In this chapter, I will discuss why I wrote this book and the extent to which I believe knowing about these issues is important. My goal is not to inspire new conspiracy theorists. My intention is to expose how corrupt, bankrupt, and insidious the kingdoms of men are in this world. Hopefully, this knowledge will inspire you to seek the kingdom of God. In my own journey into this information, I have found that no matter what road I go down, I find over and over again the truth is found in God's Word and in Jesus Christ alone. There is no theology, conspiracy theory, or understanding of the world that Satan and our flesh can't twist into something harmful. This can only be avoided if we focus our eyes and hearts on Jesus Christ and prayerfully allow our interpretation to be filtered through the discernment made available by the Holy Spirit. My hope and prayer is that this book gives you a different lens through which to view the world, and that this new lens spurs you to rely wholly on Jesus Christ. So that's obviously right on. And we're looking here at the table of contents. It seems like you've run the gamut of basically explaining the whole. Well, I mean, as much as can be in a 150-page book. So it's a pretty quick read, but it's pretty thorough in what it scopes. Was that challenging to sort of try to boil it down, or did you?
It was. I had a couple other chapters that I had written that I ended up cutting out. I wanted to make it something people could read fairly quickly, and also I wanted to focus on information that, in my opinion, is not very speculative, but it's well supported. Most people who look into this stuff seriously agree on it, and it covers kind of, what I consider to be the major areas that people, I think, do need to understand to a certain extent. And kind of going back to the part that you read, Chris, I found a quote in a book I was reading yesterday that I think sums up what I would like, kind of, my writing and research to be about. It's by a guy, I don't know that much about him. His name is George Bernanos, but the quote is, "In order to be prepared to hope in what does not deceive, we must first lose hope in everything that deceives." And so, what I'm trying to do is show, hey, this world is messed up. What looks all nice and happy and American flags waving and apple pie and everything is just a corrupt system, and it's a system that is not out to glorify God. It's a system that is of deceived people trying to deceive other people. And I think, part of the gospel is you've got to give up on the world. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot trying to follow Jesus. It's got to be all one way or the other. And so I, what I'm hoping is that the book shows people, hey, don't put your trust in the government, or don't put your trust in money, or these other things.
In your own story, when you woke up, did you go for a long time into the New Age side of things, or did you have that figured out pretty early?
It was more, I didn't go down the New Age route as far as truly believing it, but it did shake kind of my belief in historical Christianity. You know, I was reading a David Icke book, his big old monster on the David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy, and of course he starts right off by talking about how the story of Jesus is not historically accurate. And so, you know, I'm thinking, wow, this guy's got all this other good information. Maybe, you know, some things in the Bible aren't totally accurate. Maybe it's just, you know, some things did get changed. But the more I dug into it, the more I found that I could trust the Bible, even more than I had before. I went to a Christian college, but you know, there's always some professors that take try to take kind of academic approaches to the Bible, and but through this, I really found, you know, you could trust the Bible more than anything.
Again, I had some more technical difficulties here, and I was saying that I was describing the chapter about the lies of the truth movement here. It's kind of describing the philosophy of the lies of the truth movement, because I think it's such an important part to explain. It saves somebody so much time in getting woken up to the true facts of this system, and then sort of kind of getting them to say, and there is this sort of mindset out there. And I think you sum it up well too. Which is this: all of the false teachers in the truth movement appeal to man's desire to feel special and smart. Most importantly, the false teachers also tap into the Luciferian lie that man can attain higher levels and ultimately godhood through themselves. Unfortunately, it is not just the truth movement that is propagating Luciferian doctrine, the corporate media, entertainment, and movie industries, and then go on to lead into the next chapter. What I wanted to talk about there in that chapter was about David Icke and this quote. I thought it was a pretty interesting quote that you found there. And it's just interesting to see it all in black and white. You know, he kind of has this demeanor about him of like, oh, well, you know, he probably wouldn't be too blasphemous or anything. But you can hear in what he's saying here the exact line almost repeated verbatim by, you know, thousands and thousands of kids who believe this to be absolutely true.
Right.
And really, in a lot of ways, it did start with him. He says, let's see, he's going on about these different things. He doesn't get into Christianity until he starts saying, look at how all these religions claim it is blasphemous to say that you are the all, or what we call God. We can't say that we are God. We must be humble and accept that we are subordinate sinners who must cower in the face of the Almighty. This nonsense is designed by those who control the religions, not the programmed underlings of in the funny hats, to lock us into the computer level of perception, the level at which we are easy to shepherd and pin. Listen to the language of religion. The Lord is your shepherd, and you are part of the flock. What pain and suffering has been caused by the religions which talk of judgment days and some God choosing who does and who does not have eternal life. They tell us that only if we believe in the non-existent Jesus can we qualify for eternity.
Yep, that's, and the quotes that I selected from the different kind of New Age truth gurus are all specifically about Jesus Christ, because it, you know, I didn't really care to try to get in and debate on, you know, Tessarians.
More technical difficulty here, and I was talking about David Icke, and Andrew commented.
It's not so much that I, you know, don't like the guy or I'm out to attack him or anything. It's just, you know, you can't reconcile the two. You know, you can't say, oh, I believe everything David Icke says, and I'm still a Christian. You know, there's got to be separation there. And one thing that I heard you say in one of your videos is that you know, we're all still sheeple. And I think that humility is important, of realizing, hey, I can be deceived. You know, I have the capability of believing other people's lies and my own lies to myself. And that was an important aspect of it for me, not getting into this whole, oh, look at me, I've figured out the truth about 9/11, so
That's
now I know everything.
Here I asked Andrew about eugenics. He has about three chapters that deal with eugenics in some way or another. So I asked him what his overall opinion was about it as he was researching it and why he wanted to make it a prominent part of the book.
In those chapters, I tried to look at kind of the philosophy of eugenics and then some of the programs. And I think what I'm hoping it helps people do is put the different things they hear about fluoride or about MSG or aspartame or any of those things in context, and to see that it's not just one thing here or there, it's part of a program. And try to explain kind of the mindset of people who, you know, believe in eugenics. And, you know, I traced it back to Darwin and the idea, oh, we can guide evolution and we can create this Superman, and if we can only get those bad genes out of the gene pool, this, you know, humanity could really take off. And of course, you know, that ignores the real problem with man, which is sin, and it also justifies what kind of elite groups or royalty have always done. They've always, you know, tried to keep power to themselves by, you know, inbreeding and trying to consolidate power. So it was trying to show where that mindset comes from, and then how it affects our world today.
Here I asked Andrew if there was anything that surprised him about his research in eugenics.
Well, one thing that was surprising, I had just posted, I think, an article on my Facebook page, and someone commented that I should read G.K. Chesterton about, because he had written a lot about eugenics. And, you know, I'd read some of his stuff before, but I had no idea that it was in, you know, he had dealt with that issue. So that's a book that I quote from quite a bit. And it was surprising that, and I think he wrote it in 1911, and he saw the problems that were going to come from it. You know, he talks about, well, if you start creating laws about saying a person can't eat this or can't marry someone they want or all those things, you know, he basically predicted that it would end in a totalitarian nightmare, basically. And people absolutely ridiculed him, and he includes those quotes in the book also.
Here he asked Andrew what the sort of satanic overall plan with eugenics is, in his opinion.
Right, I think it just gives them reasons for doing what they already want to do. You know, they already want to steal, kill, and destroy. And it gives them a justification. Oh, the world's overpopulated. Or, oh, look at all the stupid people out there. We must, you know, make humanity better and healthier and smarter and all these things.
Andrew then also goes on to explain that it's a bit like a counterfeit in a lot of ways of Christ's eventual just kingdom here on earth. I then quote from a chapter that he titles The Media Matrix, where it says, "There has been a great deal of writing in Christian circles that quite correctly decries the sexual, violent, and anti-family content of our media-saturated culture. The sexual immorality is glorified incessantly, gratuitous violence is pervasive, and trying to find a well-functioning family with a father, mother, and children behaving in a biblically obedient way is like looking for a teetotaler on Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras. However, there is usually something missing from the critiques of the American media. It is the understanding that these outrages are deliberately planned and executed in order to break down the institutions that are the biggest threat to the power monopoly of New World Order corporate state, the church, the family, and the individual. My critique will focus on informational and educational media because the messages in entertainment programming parrot the messages in news media. People may be less likely, however, to identify the news media as carefully scripted, controlled, and manipulated for specific ends."
And, you know, that's some things I get into that'll be familiar to your listeners, you know, the false left-right paradigm and how that system works and how, you know, just they make it all about individuals. You know, everything's about Obama. Or, you know, if you watch a news program, it's all centered in Washington, D.C., and everything is all about what the government is doing. And it'll be the same stories, you know, the same five different stories on every network and the cable news channels. And there's a quote I have in there by Michael Parenti, that the media might not be able to tell us what to think, but they're very successful in telling us what to think about. And, of course, everything is focused on, you know, the material world. Everything is focused on kind of power struggles and things that, as Christians, obviously should not be our top priority. So I think it's, you know, I think watching TV is kind of a dangerous activity. I don't think it's a neutral activity. And I think it's specifically designed to kind of reinforce the power structure that's there, while at the same time giving an outlet for people to feel like, hey, you know, Fox News is standing up for me.
Here's where I noted that TV nowadays is, if you haven't watched TV for a while and then you do watch it, it's sometimes shocking how just awful it is. It seems obviously wrong, but it's pretty easy to get desensitized to it. If you just are sitting there watching it for any length of time, you start to get used to it, kind of like a hot tub.
A book that I just read recently, I hadn't read it when I wrote The New World Order and the Eugenics Wars, but there's a book called Propaganda by Jacques Ellul. He's a French guy. And what he talks about is, you know, he has a whole section in there on propaganda's effect on Christianity. And one of the things he says is that, and this was back in the 1960s, he said either Christianity will embrace propaganda, in which case it will no longer be Christianity, or Christianity will refuse to use propaganda and will be shoved off into margins of society and cease to be kind of a relevant factor. And I think what's happened is we've got both of those things have happened. There's kind of the fake version of Christianity that you see on TV and does use propaganda and uses the exact same propaganda techniques that pretty much all other programming uses. And then, of course, there's real Christianity that you cannot ever get through the media, even if someone, you know, with the best of intentions was like, I'm going to, you know, have a TV show all about Jesus, you know, and they have someone up there preaching, and he can be the best preacher in the world, but just the medium of television makes it all about the preacher and not about God.
Here, I asked if there were any other chapters in the book that he found particularly interesting or notable as he was doing the research and the writing.
You know, one of the, I think, important chapters for people, you know, who are first waking up, you know, if you get this book and you give it to someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, I think the fourth chapter on the financial system is important, just so people understand, you know,
right,
how
yeah,
the
I have it here.
Really,
I'll read it if you want. It says,
I thought was really interesting, I found that quote from Nehemiah that I put at the beginning of the chapter. I'm not turning to it right now, but, I just found it there. Well, I'll just kind of summarize it, but basically Nehemiah is looking there, and people are coming to him and complaining, and it says, there was also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them. And I think it just kind of reinforces the idea that, you know, there's, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the same systems that seem so new to us now, you know, were in place back then. And one of my favorite quotes that I have in there, I think it's in the second chapter, is where the people are demanding a king. You know, they don't want the system of the judges anymore, where God laid out the law and the judges, you know, just judge based on the law. They want a king to lead them into battle, and they keep saying, we want a king to fight our battles for us, which of course is ridiculous because kings never fight the battle. It's always it's always the king making you fight the battle. And God warns them about taxes and everything else that will come of that. And I think it shows, for whatever reason, people, they want to be led to a certain extent. And I know that some, you know, New World Order type people use that as an excuse. Oh, look, people want to be led, so it's our job to lead them. But what people are missing is that, you know, what our true desire is for...
Here he completes that statement by saying, for us to be obedient to God. And then I agree with him and basically say that it's a really good timing for the financial aspect, as a lot of people are waking up to these kind of ideas through the financial meltdown that's happening. I got a few other questions here for you, but I do want to mention that this book is, it's, I think you've got it on your website now for $10, so it's not something that is cost prohibitive. So I just would really recommend people. I've got, if you go to my website, nowheretorunradio.com, on the right hand there, towards the middle of the page, you'll see a big banner for the New World Order and the Eugenics Wars, A Christian Perspective by Andrew John Hoffman. A few other things here. So where do you see, what's the big picture? Where is all this going? And obviously, you know, we could say, I mean, as far as the short term, I guess you could say. I mean, we know that where it's going biblically. But even maybe if you can touch on that, just what's your big picture on all this?
My big picture, that I enjoy listening to you and Frank kind of talk about this every week. I think we might have a longer timeline than it seems like right now. Sometimes, especially for me, when I first found out about all this stuff, it seems like everything's going to happen tomorrow. And I think, you know, the more I look into things, I think we'll, the processes that are in motion will keep happening. But I also think that there's a certain amount out there of confusion between America and then the whole world. And I think there's kind of lots of people think, oh, America's falling apart. You know, we sense something's wrong. We sense, you know, our country's falling apart. And people kind of think, well, that's it. You know, when America falls apart, that's the rapture and that's all she wrote. And I really don't think that's a biblical, you know, something you can get from scripture. There's obviously tons of stuff that's happening that's fulfilling prophecy and showing that this, you know, we could very well be getting close to the end. But I think America could totally fall apart either, you know, through economics or whatever else. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's it. So I think kind of short term, I think America could be in for some rough times. I don't necessarily expect the Antichrist to show up, you know, right then. I think the 2012 thing, I think will try to be used to push people in to into more of the new age thing and get people interested, you know, oh, I'll research 2012 and find out about Michael Pissarri and all that garbage. I definitely think there's a spiritual detection there. But I think they're already kind of hedging their bets with that. I've heard David Icke say now, you know, he always used to say 2012, and now he says, by 2016, we're really going to start winning this thing. And so, you know, you might see 2016 become the new 2012 or whatever. So I think it's, you know, the bottom line is I don't know. And I don't think it's, I think God is going to kind of reveal to us what we need to know. That's not going to change whether we've got 1 year or 100 years or 1,000 years left. That's the reality.
Here, I asked him about his time in Korea and if that changed his perspective on any of this.
Yeah, when I was over there, I enjoyed the experience. I got to, my work schedule teaching English was really easy. I only had to work about 30 hours a week. And so I had plenty of time to kind of hike around on, you know, trails out there and listen to different podcasts by you or Alex Jones show or whatever. And so that was an enjoyable experience. I definitely think culturally, one thing I came away from, you know, if there is going to be kind of this kind of pushback for liberty or for, you know, against government control, it is probably going to have to be in America, because there's, it seems like in some ways the system is more in place elsewhere, at least in Korea. People, you know, people aren't allowed to have guns, you know, even police officers, they have to turn in their guns before they go home. And there's no kind of expectation. There's just kind of, oh yeah, you know, we do what the government says and that's the way it is. And one thing that absolutely amazed me, in the school I taught at, we were using English textbooks, and they're made by American companies, but they're specifically international editions. And they are just filled with global warming propaganda, and people are bad because they're hurting Mother Earth propaganda. And it's kids get that every day.
Here I asked, so how do we prepare for all this, either spiritually or physically?
I think I've heard you talk about this. I've heard some other people talk about it, where it does seem like, you know, the people that are Christians are being drawn more into Christ, and then the people that are, you know, really into the world system are kind of getting pulled even farther away.
Right.
There's kind of that separation. And so I guess, you know, reaching out to people whatever way you can. one thing I forgot to mention, with all the book orders, I'm sending out a copy of your DVD track that you made. So I'm excited about that, and I think that's a great tool. I just wrote on there, you know, feel free to copy. So what I'm, you know, the gospel is more important than anything that I've got to say, but it's, I think it can play its own little role. And, you know, one thing reading through the gospels is that, you know, if Jesus had a PR person, they would have been pulling their hair out, because he did everything exactly the wrong way for what we think, you know, to be successful or have a successful ministry, you should do things. You know, he would get a big crowd and then say something controversial, like, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and everyone would walk away, you know, and he understood the motivation of people, and he understood what they, you know, what they really needed and what they thought they needed and what they were there for. So, you know, and that's kind of my reason for hope in a system where, you know, it doesn't really feel like we could compete with, you know, the mass media and all the other forces that are out there, is that, you know, all of that stuff is still under the sovereignty of God. And there is, you know, he can take a couple loaves and a couple of fishes and feed 5,000 people, and he could take a, you know, a YouTube video or a book or something else and use it to reach people. And that's, you know, it's not because of anything special that we have to figure out. It's just however he wants to work, he'll accomplish that.
Andrew's book is called The New World Order and the Eugenics Wars, A Christian Perspective. Andrew John Hoffman has been my guest. You can go to eugenicswars.com. That's the website, eugenicswars.com. You can also go to my website, nowheretorunradio.com. It's over there in the sidebar, where you can pick up the book for $10, give it to your pastors, your friends, your family, people that are Christians that need to be woken up to this aspect of everything, and to be done so really quickly and really efficiently with a lot of references. So check out the book there, and you also get a DVD tracked with it, so you can't beat that. Thanks again to Andrew for being our guest, and thank you for listening. Good night.